The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation. Brother, Raider Nation. We're all that's left of the Raiders, folks. Because the team, I have to do a monologue just on my thoughts on the Raiders in general today, where we are. Because it's come to that point for me, and, you know, I think you guys will relate. I'm sure. Welcome to show 672. Well, like I said, this show will be a monologo, and then the bone line. There's no post game, really. At 2-8, post games are pretty worthless, I believe. I don't see much improvement in this team. So let's just, let's just get rolling with my mono. So the juggernaut, Dallas Cowboys, not, come into Las Vegas with their fans and all their fans' garbage, take over the city. I'm glad they made some money there, because that's what it really is all about in Vegas. It's about the money. And that's what's happening. They brought the Raiders there, and they're making money. We don't have to win to make money. Mark doesn't have to win to make money. So the Cowboys came into Las Vegas, beat us 33-16, and the score really doesn't say the story. If you watch the game or if you were at the game, then you know that we blow ass on every level. The defense did their best, as they have all season, you know, play hard, play. And let me just, I heard myself say play hard. So let's look at Geno Smith. If you look at him in film from the year up north, his pace and his, the way he plays so much harder. He played so much harder there. He made better decisions there. He escaped the sacks there and played pretty good football there. But Geno here is garbage. It was a failed experiment. I'd be the first one to admit we all thought. First of all, we all thought the 74-year-old Pete Carroll would come in and change the culture. And that has not worked. Through Carroll, through Pierce, through McDougal's, and I could keep going. This team is worse than it's ever been. I mean, as a fan, I thought it'd never get any worse. Look at us. I thought it was funny before. It's just tragic. With the sixth pick, we picked Genty, a great running back, super potential, and him alone. Watch his film in college. Watch his film with the Raiders. The effort is not there. The safety was a completely great example of Genty not having effort playing for this team. If he would have had the same circumstance in college, he would have got out of the end zone. But it's like he was going in slow motion and he didn't even try. It's like he just ran straight ahead into a bunch of people because that's where the opening was supposed to be. Dude, you're the sixth overall pick. Find a gap. Work the sideline. I mean, however you got to get out of the end zone, but no effort. Our wide receivers are sick of running for nothing. You can see it. Our offensive line steps back in the first second of every play. We start off backwards. We're working to try to move forward, but we start off going backwards. I don't know what the answer is, but I know we haven't found it. Spytek, you know, at the beginning of the season, you guys already heard it. Yeah, we're looking at all the players. We're looking at all the possibilities, the offensive line. We're looking at the wide receivers. We're just going to compete.
Let's hear it, Raider Nation, for John Spytek, who joined us.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man.
That's awesome.
We're really proud for him. Not only as a broadcaster, but this. And describe him as a player from back in the day.
Oh, I remember him more with the Eagles more than anything. Yeah. I probably shouldn't say that here. Yeah. But, one of my favorite players to watch growing up.
Awesome.
And just admired the courage he played with and the energy. And then, I mean, what a fantastic athlete, too.
Yeah,
so
man. We had that great front, you know.
Yeah.
Reggie White.
Yeah. Jerome Brown.
Steph Joyner, Jerome. Yeah,
yeah,
all those guys.
Yeah.
Made my job a lot easier.
You made a hard thing look easy. I always have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah. How's it been for you so far? Coming off the draft, we just watched the feature. Are you developing this roster, getting through the combine, and now OTAs? What's the journey been like for you personally?
It's been amazing, really. Everything that I hoped and wanted it to be, and to come to an organization like the Raiders and be a part of Raiders Nation has been a dream come true for me. But, you know, to get to know all the people in the building, to work with Pete every day, post-draft to have a chance to add some people from around the league and the scouting worlds that I really respect with Brian Stark and Anthony Patch and Jonathan Stiegel and Brandon Hunt. A lot of guys that have a lot of Super Bowl rings joined us too. So it's been awesome. The energy on the field's been great. It's great to see the rookies out in the field now and fitting into the team. Great to see Geno throwing the ball around. It's been special, and I'm looking forward to a great week to kick us off into summer here.
Let's go back to the draft. Like that is like the Super Bowl for, you know, player personnel people, general managers. When you're going through the draft, everyone has a formula, right? So you're trying to either size or you see someone pops off on film. Can you talk to us a bit about what are some of those things that you came into the building with as far as, hey, this is the kind of player that I think needs to be on the Raiders?
Yeah, we're looking for people like yourself. Make the hard thing look easy. A love and a commitment to the game, you know, and I think it stands out when you watch tape. I've gotten actually really good in my career when I watch college tape in the fall, for instance. I often don't read the background on the players before I read it, and you can actually guess it when you watch them play.
Right.
You know, there's a spirit and a passion and energy that the great ones play with. You know, when you watch Ashton, when you watch Jack, those guys play like they love the game of football. We're looking for smart, instinctive football players, too. The game, I would say, like, naturally makes sense to them, too. You know, I mean, there's probably times you came off the field where they're like, what happened? I just felt it.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew that this was coming. Well, why? Well, I don't have a good answer for that, but it doesn't matter. You made the play.
Right.
And, you know, when that matches up then with the character that we've talked, Pete and I have talked a lot about, the competitiveness that is essential if you want to be a part of this program. You're going to have to love to want to come out here and practice and work and be in the weight room every day. And, you know, we just tried to, in the first draft here, we had 11 picks. We tried to fill this roster up with as many of those guys as possible.
Yeah. On the personal level, you spent a lot of time paying your dues. And we joked about it before. Decades. Okay, 22, two decades.
Don't do that to me.
I've been covering this team for two decades, too. So, but from your perspective, how much more rewarding is it to be sitting in that seat now for the first time and to be able to be that yin to Pete Carroll's yang in terms of completing that picture as a first-year GM after paying all those dues and learning the craft?
Yeah, I was not what I would describe in my 20s and 30s, a patient person. I wanted everything. You want it now. And, you know, some of the wisdom that lives in my beard and on top of my head now here, I think I have an appreciation. Like, I am where I'm supposed to be right now. And everything that I was able to be a part of and accomplish up to this point in my life has brought me here. And I feel more ready than ever. Could I have done this 3 or 4 years ago when I first had some interviews? Yes, I think so. But I am where I'm supposed to be. And I have a foundation. I have a confidence. And I appreciate everything that got me here, all the people along the way that worked with me, all the things I had to do, all the time I spent, you know, in Hampton Inns and Fairfield Inns across the country.
Shout out.
Points.
The time away from my family, which was hard. But in a sense, I feel like I can look at a lot of people and be like, in the scouting department in particular, I've been there before, I've done that. I know you're 35 and you're hungry and you're ambitious, but just stick with us here. Like the reward will come, and when it does come, you'll be much more prepared, and you'll have a chance to work with somebody like Pete Carroll with the Raiders organization.
John, last one, when you're around town and you're meeting these fans, it could be at a golf course, it could be grocery shopping, whatever it is with your family. What do you think? It's a different fan base. It's a global fan base. You've embraced it. What are your expectations for this fan base coming into the home season at Allegiant?
Well, my first expectation is that we put a team on the field that they can be proud of and that they want to come support all every Sunday. And we fill Allegiant up with as many Raiders fans as possible. And, you know, we've got to earn that right, I think, to have that expectation. In terms of being a part of this fan base, it's the only thing I can compare it to. Well, I mean, I've been a part of some great franchises. I don't want to do comparisons, but it's been special. You know, I had a lot of friends that, you know, they're Packer fans in particular because of where I grew up, and they've already kind of made the transition, which is really, you have to be probably from Wisconsin to totally appreciate that. But I've had friends tell me they're in Costa Rica and they're in Europe and they're wearing their Raiders gear, and you know, people will come up, locals will come up and yell Raiders at them, and Nobody's ever done that with any part I've been. You know, no one did that in Philadelphia or Tampa Bay or Denver or some great organizations, and so it hits a little bit different. And I think I learned that every day. It's really special. I feel really honored and humbled to wear the shield and to wear the silver and black.
Thanks for doing this, John. Appreciate it. Have a great
day. Thanks, man.
I appreciate you guys.
How about that for Media Day? John Spytek.
The play calling is absolutely ridiculous. We had 6 runs on the Dallas Cowboys, which have the worst run defense in the league. They're Swiss cheese for everybody else. You know, they look like the old Dallas Cowboys with Aikman and company. But they're not. I mean, Jerry Jones found his glory hole coming to Vegas, because I love that take on Jerry. You got it, Randy. I know you do.
I want me some glory hole. So I have that perspective.
I don't know if Jerry knows what a glory hole is, but I'm sure someone's told him. Told him by now.
Hey, Gemini, what's a glory hole?
The term glory hole has several distinct meanings depending on the context. Here are the 3 primary definitions. 1. Glass blowing. Artists insert the glass into this hole to reheat it without melting it entirely. This keeps the glass malleable so it can be shaped and worked. 2. Mining. It can refer to a specific mining method, where ore is broken underground and fed into a vertical shaft, the glory hole, to be collected in tunnels below. 3. Slang. In modern adult contexts, the term has a specific sexual meaning. It refers to a hole cut into a wall or partition, typically between stalls in a public restroom or a video booth, designed to facilitate anonymous sexual activity between individuals on either side. Would you like to know more details?
That's okay, Gemini. No thanks.
I want me some glory hole.
Mark Davis, and you gotta love Jim Rome, because I do.
Can y'all smell that? I can. All the way here in Orange County, the stench carrying across the entire desert, all the way to the coast. You might also call that stench the autumn wind. Once again, Raider Nation, I am sorry to report your entire operation is rotten to the core yet again, and it needs to be blown up yet again. Blow it up, burn it down, set the ashes on fire, start over from scratch. Again. Next time, do not turn to a 74-year-old man to change your entire culture and change the entire course of your entire franchise. It's asking a lot. Yes, I admit it seemed like a pretty good idea at the time. Not so much now. No, the assassin, the gum assassin, is not a miracle worker. He's a gum assassin. He assassinates gum. He doesn't work miracles. Far from it. That said, I can't even really blame Bowl Cut and Bacon Face for thinking that they had upgraded when they replaced Antonio Pierce with Pete Carroll. Unfortunately, Bullcut and Baconface were very wrong in thinking they made things better by replacing Antonio Pierce with the Gum Assassin. Because incredibly, the Gum Assassin has made it even worse. The Gum Assassin Raiders are even worse than the Antonio Pierce Raiders. In fact, it's not even close. But, way to go, BF, a.k.a. Baconface. Great hire, bro. And great choice of quarterback as well. It's not like the Geno Smith situation hasn't been a complete disaster or anything. Oh, great job, too, on using the sixth pick overall to take a running back and then not giving him the ball. Six carries for your star running back, allegedly, against the Cowboys defense. They traded away Micah Parsons because, wait for it, they can't stop the run. Trust me, they still can't stop the run. But they look like it last night. But then again, how do we know? Because they didn't run the guy that they took with the sixth pick overall against the worst run defense in the NFL. I mean, damn, Vegas, really? I mean, I really thought that the energy changed when that speed talker came through that door. But no, nothing has changed. The head coach chews a lot of gum, a lot more gum now than the other guy. He also talks way faster than the other guy. And that's the only thing that's changed in Vegas, other than everything got worse. Like, nothing's changed. It's just gotten worse. More gum, more words, more losses. Didn't even seem possible. Which brings me back to the Geno problem. Not saying it's all on him, but Geno, my guy, what happened to you, dude? They wrote you off and you ain't right back, remember? Well, now they're writing you off again. And, well, whoever's doing it, we're right this time.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though.
This time, they write you off and they write. Because you look cooked, my
dude.
That's
the problem.
Granted, I know you're not getting a lot of help in front of you. I know you're not getting a lot of help at all, but you're not helping yourself either, and you're not helping them. I guess I appreciate you trying to own it completely and take responsibility for being straight ass, but I would rather you played a decent game than be straight ass and then just say afterwards, blame it all on me. Blame it all on me.
I keep saying this, man. If something don't look right out there, blame it on me, right? If it don't look right, blame it on me. That's all you can do. Blame it on me. If your kids mess up at school, blame it on me. Car breakdown going to work, blame it on me.
Well, dude, actually, it doesn't look right, so I will blame that on you. My kids, I'll own that. My car, I'll own that. Hell, I'll own everything in my life. I'm not going to blame you for that. I'm not asking you to fix my car or fix my kids or fix me. I'm asking you to fix you and your offense. And your record. Don't worry, dude. We will blame you for the football stuff, just not for our kids. Not for our kids being late to school, but anything involving that offense, yes, we're going to point the finger at you.
Blame it on me.
And Chip Kelly. And the Gum Assassin. And Ashton Jeanty. And Baconface. And Bullcut. And everybody else. All these guys. All these changes. Everything that was going to make it so much better actually made it worse. How is it that you can't make any plays at all anymore? Geno, my dude, you have the entire city of Las Vegas clamoring for Aiden O'Connell. Who even knew he was still there? And no offense, but do you know how badly you have to suck to make the Raider Nation pine for the glory hole days
of
going 5-4 with interim head coach Antonio Pierce and Aiden O'Connell at QB? I mean, hell, at least Jarrah had some actual glory hole days. I mean, sure, 3 decades ago. Bullcut, though, has never even won a playoff game while in control of the Raiders. Not one. Bullcut's glory hole days or that one time that Antonio Pierce won some games as an interim head coach. And that other time where Rich Bisaccia won some games as an interim head coach. And that one good year that Jack Del Rio had that nobody remembers. Oh, Oh, and all the good times when he posted up at P.F. Chang's with his flip phone after rolling there with his exotic minivan. Nobody can ever take that from the Ginger Bowl.
I want me some glory hole.
Don't we all, Jera? That's why I can't give Jera and the Cowboys all this credit, or really credit. Any at all, for some sort of a huge breakthrough win last night. Because it wasn't that. It was just a win over the garbage Raiders, who are somehow inexplicably even worse than they've ever been before. Even though they haven't been good anytime recently. If ever. I think they were good. Like, I'm old enough to remember when they were good. But you got to be pretty freaking old to remember when they were good.
The ginger, the bowl cut, he calls them. I love it. I love it. Because it's the only common denominator in every losing season since he took over. I mean, Jack Del Rio, before they fired him, he was doing okay. I'm not saying that he's the end-all be-all, but he was doing okay. And then Gruden came in. Let's start all over, which we did. Then the whole Gruden mystique and, you know, the car crash with the burnt kid, the burnt dog, and the poor girl. And then Derek Carr leaves. And let's just go on that right now. I'm going to rant for a second. Don't you wish we still had Derek Carr? I do. At least we had entertaining football. We had a quarterback that could actually see the open wide receivers. Geno Smith, I'm not going to blame you on my hemorrhoids, but I'm certainly going to blame you for crappy quarterback play. Because, dude, you are horrible.
When your football team's 2-8, there's blame to go around everywhere. Geno consistently stands up, says, put it on me, it's all on me. And I'm setting aside the on-field play. How happy have you been with his leadership as a veteran, taking the heat, taking the lightning rod, and just the way he's handled that?
Yeah, he really has. And I do compliment him for maintaining that, because it's been hard. It's, you know, you go back to the first 3 or 4 games when the ball was going to the other team. I mean, that was a hard start, because he understands that carries throughout the season, you know, and all that. He's made it through that, and he's responded, and he really hasn't wavered. And when you give him the opportunity, I know you guys, you know, you check him out every week, a couple times a week, I guess, and that's a lot to stand up to. But he's been around a long time. He's had good examples that he's played around and understands the way you have to maintain that mentality, and he's doing it admirably. Hopefully we all are.
I'm not going to blame you because my car breaks down. I'm not going to blame you because my dog crapped in the yard and I stepped in it. I'm going to blame you for the terrible quarterbacking that you have done. Decision making's ridiculous. You're getting sacked at a record pace. You have 13 interceptions, bro. 13. There's only one other guy that's with you, and that's Tua. And I don't see him going to the prom. But I'll tell you, this whole bunch of people that they hired, Pete Carroll, the gum assassin, and man, he's assassinating boxes of gum. Matter of fact, I think he's had to go to the dentist to get shots in his cheeks because his face muscles are so spasmed out. Not only is he assassinating gum left and right, but, you know, he's the speed talker. He listened to his post game. Super fast. He don't want to get caught on any moment. And then the direct question about Geno Smith and the whole thing, he can't answer that question because he doesn't have an answer.
After getting a chance to see the game film, obviously better than field level, did anything stand out to you maybe after seeing the film that you didn't notice from field level?
Sure. Yeah. That's why I hate having to talk about the game before I see the film, you know, and I try not to say too much to the team. I try to not say too much to you guys because I don't, you know, I need to get a real good session. So I went right there last night and away we go. Gosh, there's so many observations in different directions. just in general, we went after him to go after him with the early play passes and to throw the ball on first down, and we did that pretty well. And that was pretty clear. Like we, and the reason why, I think I said this last night probably, but we protected well in those situations, and we mixed Chip mixed all the calls so they had to keep the defensive guys from teeing off on us. And when we fell into the drop back opportunities, the longer the third down situations and a couple earlier ones, we had trouble holding them out, and we didn't pass pro well in against their guys. It's a really good front. All the, kind of quickly they changed the complexion of their future, I think, with the moves that they made. And those guys were tough, and they made it hard on us.
Pete, just where is your current confidence level at with Geno Smith at this point in the season?
I thought Geno played really well for the most part last night, and he was under the pressure the entire time in the dropback game. He had to move. It wasn't perfect. He did jam a ball in there on the interception that got tipped, that he could have checked it down. We were really trying to take advantage of the checkdowns and get the ball to Ashton as much as we could. And there was a chance there for, 10-yard play probably. But he thought he saw it, thought he could get it in there, and linebacker got a hand on the ball. But he threw a great ball to Trey on the seam route down in the goal line, the back line of the end zone, that the two of them needed to just hook it up. He threw back shoulder to him on a seam route that was a beautiful thought and throw, and Trey didn't quite get there. Something we just need to keep working on. But I continue to really believe in him. I have no hesitation in telling you that. He's an incredible player, and he's busting his tail, and he's working at it really hard. He has not backed off one step throughout the process, and so we're counting on that he's going to keep working it, and he'll come through for us. We just got to help him out more, got to protect him better.
When you go back to the play where he tried to force the ball to Brock Bowers and got tipped and picked, and you say he could threw the check down, is that just a product of just him predetermining where he wants to go with the ball?
I know. It's kind of the competitor in him. He had a shot. He'd been hitting everything on the play actions, and here he had a shot again. And hit going, and here's his top guy. He's got Brock, and there's a little crease there, and he gunned it at him, and the guy got a hand on the ball, and so he went real aggressive with the decision at the time, and he checked down the ball really well, and so we made nice yardage on stuff down to the running backs on the same kind of actions, not the same play, but different ones. And that was the game plan. We're not trying to just force the ball down the field. We're trying to see if it's there, take it as he did most of the time, and then drop the ball down when he had to. That was just one. He just went for it, and we can see it happening. And he's got that kind of competitive nature about him. But there was a better decision to make than that on that play.
In regards to Aiden O'Connell, are you anticipating him being activated back to the 50th?
He's been practicing a lot with us. He's getting his good work. We got to go talk about it, figure that one out, because the time is coming. We've been getting him some work against the ones and all that to bring him along as fast as we can. And he's had quite a bit of practice opportunity to get going. So he's done all right with it too.
I wish he would just say, "Yeah, well, we blew it. We picked the wrong guy. We're looking for a guy." I mean, some honesty would be great. I know we're not going to get any because, that's against the whatever it is. There's some kind of hidden rule there somewhere. And the fact that he's hanging on Geno's nutsack is just mind-blowing. Oh, we got some great news. We got Aiden O'Connell is back in the roundup. He's off the injured reserve. He's back throwing the ball. His hand is great. And isn't that just a perfect meme for the Raiders. The Raider Nation is clamoring for Aiden O'Connell and his what? What has he done? What has he done? He's very much like Geno. He'll be the same way because that offensive line we have is trash. And incidentally, that's a general manager deal. Our general manager, definitely, let me just say, my whole thing, we've changed coaches, we've changed head coaches, we've changed general managers, right? We've changed presidents, chairmen of the board, we've changed janitors, we've changed, people that work in the locker room, cleaning clothes, jocks, picking up, towels. We've changed everybody. But we haven't done it all at one time. When McDaniels was here and he got fired, the next coach, Pierce, came in and he kept a lot of his guys. So all the coaches there were pretty much the same guys. And did we expect a different result? Well, yeah, we did. And what did we get? Crap. And then, you know, let's fire Pierce after two seasons. Then let's bring in the 74-year-old gum assassin who's going to change the culture. And Spytek, the rookie general manager, replacing Telesco, who incidentally had one of the best drafts we've had in over a decade. And we get rid of him. But then, you know, Spytek brings in the gum assassin, and here we are. Because we didn't get rid of all the old coaches. The special teams coach, we just fired him a few days ago, right? And he's gone, but our special teams still suck because we tried this punt against the Cowgirls, and we forgot to get the ball.
Pete, just I was curious, what went into the decision to do, I think it was like an onside punt kick, like, near in the fourth quarter after the safety? Kind of what went into the decision?
Well, we're in a three-score game. We got to get the ball back. And it's an opportunity. We actually almost did it exactly right. It was close. You know, it was a great kick that gave us the chance. And we're trying to get the ball back. You know, and figuring if we don't get the ball back there, it's going to be really difficult to get three more chances, you know, after they get the ball again. So that was just a decision that we made to go for it. You know, took a shot. You know, our prep and special teams. You know, my dad. I thought Darius Swinton did a nice job in his first game out there with his guys. Guys played really well for him. Played really hard, and I think there was one return. But other than that, we were very consistent with the play, and that called on another aspect of a special part of special teams that we took a shot at.
Just curious on that because that play rarely happens. I don't know that I've ever seen a safety punt for an onside kick, basically. How much do you guys practice on that and are aware of it? Because like you said, it was pretty darn close to
yeah, no, we have done it. We've done it consistently throughout. You know, it's been ready. The kickers work on the kick and all that every week. So we wouldn't have done it if we didn't feel like we had a chance, you know, because we've worked on it. So it gave us a shot. And it was, a tremendous kick. And you know, there's a lot of things that can happen right there.
It was an onside punt. It went more than 10 yards. And the team was on slow motion. And everyone I know that watched this game said, "What the heck is that?" I mean, the comedy keeps coming for the Raider Nation. I'm tired of it. The Cowboys were beat by Jacoby Brissett by 10 points in their own house. Cowboys suck. We just suck a whole bunch more. Made them look like Super Bowl champions. But Mark Davis, the bowl cut, I love that, or the ginger. Mark Davis, if you're going to change a coach and general manager, let me just say this. You get rid of every single person on the staff. The ball boy, the offensive line coach, defensive line coach, offensive line coordinator, the defensive line, you know, all those coach positions that we continue to hold on to, don't you think those need to change too? I do, because nothing's changing on the team. The culture's changing. I mean, Crosby, that I feel bad for him. He's the only guy that gives 110% effort, I'm telling you. Because if you watch our players from beginning of the season to our last few games, they're going in slow motion because they don't care.
Pete, with your years of experience, when you have a team that's struggling, how are different ways that you continue to keep them engaged, get them continue to not look at it, oh my God, we have another game, but hey, we have another opportunity. How do you handle
that? Yeah, well, it's an involved process of trying to keep their focus and to keep their hope alive and challenge them to work, you know, try to find the key individuals that you think could benefit from a little bit more focus, a little more emphasis, a little more pat on the back or kick in the butt, you know, whatever it is. And it's a variety of ways. In general, it's really keeping an eye on the future. You know, what we've always had a way of dealing with the last game. So we try to stay in the routine of that, you know, whether it was a big game win or a big game loss, whatever the situation is, to come back to focus, to try to find a regularity about the preparation process. So that's, we've worked hard at that because I know how important it is to be consistent in that regard. And that's what throws teams off, you know, the last second win or loss can totally blow you out of the water in terms of your focus the next week. The media, the hype, the build-up, the pats on the back, the kick in the butt again. You know, so we have a whole way that we work at that. And so I got a call on that again and see if we can get back to, right. We played hard in this football game, and guys played tough in the game, and we didn't play well enough.
They don't have anything to play for. They know that this team will continually, I mean, next year it'll be 30 new guys. They'll get rid of all these players. I mean, we had already paid a defensive lineman an extra $5 million for two games. I think he played two games. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that general managers, they got to handle that. And our general manager is missing in action. Where the hell is Spytek? We are 2-8, and we have heard jack shit from our general manager, who's head honcho. The ball lays in your court, bro. Where the hell are you? I'm tired of listening to coach speak from the 74-year-old gum assassin. Because I just don't even want to hear it. It doesn't even make any sense. Is it just me? I don't think so.
Coach, last one is always your message to the fans coming off that game.
Yeah, well, you could see that there was a factor in the stadium. There was a lot of Dallas people there in that stadium, but it was a lively game. It was loud, and it was the kind of atmosphere that we like. Unfortunately, they had something to do with it, but we just need them to keep coming back. We need to give them reason. I know I keep telling you, and so that is, we're going to have to work hand in hand when the day arrives, and that they know that they got a club that they can count on winning, and this place is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a phenomenal place to play. And we need to up that factor as much as we can, but I know we have to do it with the play that we bring to it. So we're working together at that, I hope.
Anyway, long story short, if we're going to make a change this time, man, let's fire everybody. I want the janitor fired. I want the people who clean the jocks, I want them fired. I want the guys who clean the outfits, the uniforms, I want them fired. I want every single body that's in that building fired. Matter of fact, you can fire the ginger too, as long as you're at it. Ownership matters here. Good owners find good coaches and, incidentally, better staffs. If you see a staff that is jamming, like you see a defensive line coach, like we have a defensive line coach, he's awesome. He's a great coach. We need to find a bunch of guys like that in every position and find them on any team, every team, from college all the way up. We need to find those great coaches. Because the guys we have now are retreads from other administrations, man. It sucks ass. Because we suck ass. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just venting, just like you guys do on the Bone Line. This is the expression of my frustration with the Las Vegas Raiders. And so, in closing, since 2002, we have stunk it up. 2003, Gannon got hurt, and that was the end. Then we got Derek Carr, which really showed some hope. We had one game, we had one season where we went to the playoffs. And Carr got hurt, and that was the end of that season. But I don't understand how come we couldn't continue to go forward. Next year, the playoffs. The following year, the playoffs. Why is it a fluke when we win games? It's a fluke. It was a fluke year. The Raiders had a winning year. The Steelers don't have that issue. Every year they're at least over 500. And that's not us. It's not going to be us this year. But I swear, this is the last thing I'm going to say before the Bone Line. And this is for frickin' sure. I swear, if we win a bunch of crappy, worthless games by the skin of our teeth, not because we played great, because we just bumbled and fumbled our way to a win, that brings us out of the top three or four pick in the draft, then this season was for naught. And I don't even know if we're going to find a number one quarterback with those picks. But I sure as hell think we need to give it a try, because what we've had so far ain't happening, for sure. And it's not just the O-line. I mean, it's not just the quarterback. We got to find some brutes up front. I mean, look at the good teams. The good teams have offensive lines that are brutal, they're nasty, and they make moves. And those are the winners. I mean, the Eagles have a great offensive line. I mean, there's a bunch of different teams, the Rams, but they have, you know, an investment. This is an investment you have to make. Our last good lineman was Colton Miller. And that was 5 years ago?
Going on 8 years, actually. Drafted in 2018.
We haven't figured out that we need offensive linemen in this game? But I'm still stuck on the coaching, man. I'm still blown away. I'm blown away, first of all, at the answers this coach leaves, and I'm blown away at bold Chip Kelly, which I'm tired of him, too. You know, he needs to hit the road, because I don't even think he's watched 6 carries for Genty. Are you freaking kidding me? You got to continue to run the ball to make anything work. And the Cowboys are the worst run defense in the league, and we ran 6 times 47 yards. What a joke we are. And that's Chip Kelly. I don't know if anybody's talking. I don't know if anybody's even looking at each other in the coaching offices. I wouldn't. These guys should be embarrassed, and we should not give them the benefit of the doubt. Because for 4 straight years, 3 different coaches, administrations, 2 general managers, we blow ass worse than ever. And that is all I'm going to say about that. And this week, we have a message from So Says Deprez. What's up, my brother?
Well, Raider Nation, the obvious pink elephant in the room is that we're not looking good. And everything is falling apart. The fans are losing faith and irritated. And can you blame them? So, the question is, what do we do now? Some would say, get rid of Geno and put in AOC. And then some would say, scrap both of them. But unfortunately, we cannot do that at the moment. So, we're not going to say tank, but we definitely can use a franchise quarterback. And take a wild guess who we face that stirred so much controversy. Oh, man. We heard and heard and heard his name. And it is Shedeur Sanders from the Cleveland Browns. Will he seek revenge for us passing him by? Will Geno finally be able to get it together? Because that defense is only going to be able to hold so much. And God bless Max Crosby and the boys leading the pack. They go out there and they give it all, but we fall flat. So what do we do, Raider Nation? Do we cancel the season? Or do we hope for the best? Well, I like to hope for the best, even though it's going to be worse, because we have upcoming schedules that's going to be not so pleasant and very, very difficult. So, if you got great patience. Now is the time to activate it, because we're going to need it all we can. And very grateful to see the Raider Nation participating at the games, the Cowboys. I saw the parties and the gatherings, and it was very nice. And the Raider Nation is trying their very best to hold near and dear and show support. But eventually, we know the outcome. So Raider Nation, I say to you, hang in there. It's going to be hard. But what else can we do? I know this is very brief, but it is what it is. So says the praise and pre-happy Thanksgiving to all of those who are looking forward to celebrating that Thanksgiving and being thankful for whatever you have. Take care.
Okay, Raider fans, here we go. The bone line. 7755 Raider. 7755 Raider. Roll the nation a bone. Throw me a bone. Get on there and throw your bones. If you don't like your first recording, do it 2, 3, 5 times. I don't care. We'll pick out the best one.
Don't be shy.
How could you be shy? You're a Raider fan. No, we're all loud and proud. Get on the bone line, because we got some guys shouting out right here. We got some great takes.
And here they are.
From the nation to your station. And our first caller on this bone line will be the lovely Tracy from New Jersey. What's going on, Raider Nation gal? I know what's going on. We getting smoked. What's up?
What's going on, Raider Nation? This is Tracy calling from New Jersey. Hey, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. Oh, ho hum. Halftime. We're getting smoked against the Cowboys, and, you know, really not much to say about this game. You know, some of the defense is playing, they're butts off, they're playing hard, and then it seems like the offense can't get it done, and then it seems like the defense can't get it done, at least in the secondary. So, like I said, don't know much. There's not much more, rather, to say about this game. I don't even know if I can stay up for the rest of it. Maybe I'll just go and watch some YouTube highlights of the Raiders and some of their comebacks, like that 2017 comeback, Derek Carr against the Chiefs. I know it's not the Cowboys, but it was a win. And listen, if we can get it together and beat the Cowboys, that would be great. Probably doesn't do much for our standings when it comes to the draft, but who knows what's up with that either. I mean, can't figure it out. So, much love to Raider Nation. Hope everybody has a great week. Look for you guys next time. This is Tracy from New Jersey. Peace out.
Well, yeah, we didn't win the game. And yes, we lost the game, and there's just buffoonery on every place. I mean, there's nowhere you can look on this team that players have not quit. Trust me, that is a glaring observation that I've had. So, you know, let's see. Let's hope we get a top three pick in the draft, because that's what we're headed for. Maybe that's the plan. I have to hope that that's the plan. So let's just hope so. I appreciate the call. I know it's tough. This is how it's been, though. So you know you are tough. I appreciate the call. And our next caller from the mountains of West Virginia, the Mountain Raider is in the house. I love this take. Kind of says it all. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy. It's the Mountain Raider calling from the mountain state of West Virginia. Calling early on Tuesday morning after the debacle of the Monday night game against the Cowboys, just to say, first of all, I hate the Cowboys. They're my most hated team. I've been a Raider fan since the 70s, since Blanda and LaMonica. We didn't play them a lot in the old days, but I never could stand them, even in the when they were winning with Jerry Jones and all that BS, and America's team. And to have them come in to Allegiant, I mean, I knew it would be bad, but to just absolutely embarrass us is just, it's hard to take. It's really hard to take. And as a West Virginian where Geno played his college ball, I really had some hope that he would steady the team with Carroll, who he seemed to have a good vibe with. This is embarrassing. It's even considering the terrible, terrible record we've had over the last decades, back to the last century. This is bad. It's embarrassing. Just terrible, terrible O-line, terrible QB play. Once in a while, the defense shows up, doesn't no good because the offense gives it up. You hand the ball off deep in the end zone to Genty with an O-line that's as porous as a sieve. What kind of call is that? I mean, but it just goes on and on. I really had some mild hope that Geno would steady us, but obviously that's a failure. But the long story short of it is you've been through so many rebuilds. I've been through so many rebuilds now. As long as Mark Davis is choosing the management of this team, we're never going to be anything but a doormat.
Yeah, we are the comedy. We are the punching bag. We are the Three Stooges. We are the Black and Blue Man Group, or whatever you want to call us. We are a show in Vegas at this point. And that's what it is. And that's what it seems like to me is, doesn't matter if we win. We're bringing in the crowds. We're bringing in money into the casinos. That's the point to everybody else except for us. And yes, this game was special in buffoonery. This game, you know, we get the ball on the 15, 18-yard line. The turnover, Mad Max does his thing, and a field goal. Barely, by the way. Geno gets sacked immediately. You know, Geno, you don't have to fall down. You don't have to fall down, bro. You can try to get away. You can do other things, but I digress because this whole team is a sham and a scam and a waste of time for those who want to see decent football. So I appreciate your take, bro, because I think we all feel the same way. It's disheartening, really. I can only hope they're trying to get a good draft pick for a quarterback. That's my hope, brother. Thank you. And our next caller is Raider Sid the Desert Raider. What's up, Sid? What you got for us?
Raider Randy, Raider Greg, the Prez, Raider Nation. This is Raider Sid, the Desert Raider. Wow. What a total and complete embarrassment on Monday Night Football. Remember when we used to shine? We were the kings of Monday Night. I do. We totally dominated. And I was all excited to watch the game. I said, you know what? Let's take out the Cowboys. Their defense sucks ass. We'll be able to move the ball. Once again, our offensive line is the core of our problems. And it's just getting worse. We can't run the ball. We can't pass the ball. It's a disaster. And now I hear that one of our third round picks, one of the offensive linemen that are rookies, I don't know if it's Rogers or Caleb, or Rogers or Grant, was a healthy scratch. And we ended up promoting a guy off the practice squad. What the fuck is going on? Who is running this team? Is Pete Carroll just doing some insane stuff? Is Chip Kelly just running whatever plays he wants? Patrick Graham doesn't seem to be involved at all. I mean, the defense is the strongest part of our team, but he has no passion. I think at this point, the only thing we can do is try to figure out who's going to get fired, because there's no way we're going to keep all these people on the coaching staff. Either a few of them go or all of them go. I don't know. It's a mess. It's a disaster. And all I can say is, come on, Raiders, just keep going. At this point, I don't think it's the players. It's the coaching staff. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Or maybe they do. Maybe they decided to tank after game one, and this is how they're doing it. Who knows? It's bizarre. I don't know what they're doing. All right, Raider Nation, this is Raider Sid. I am out.
Oh, yeah. We were the kings of Monday Night Football. People were afraid to play the Raiders on Monday night. That's how vicious we were.
The Raiders once held a phenomenal record of 20 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie over their first 23 appearances on Monday Night Football. This streak spanned 1970 to 1981. For the first decade of Monday Night Football, their record was an astounding 13-1-1. The Raiders' current all-time Monday Night Football record is 45 wins, 35 losses, and 1 tie, meaning that since they were 22-1, they have had 25 wins and 33 losses.
We dominated the Monday night scene. Now, like in this game, it's odd because the plays are odd. The coaching is very wrong. The players, the way they're put on the field, it just seems like it's bizarre. Bizarro. Not a staff that wants to win that I see, and I don't know who's going to get fired. I don't care. I just want to get a good draft pick. Fire everybody after the season, and let's get someone in here that can pick a quarterback, because that is all I care about. You know, we have a guy named Kappa, as far as an offensive lineman. We got him from the Bengals. He's not playing. He's benched. Why? He's a pro. We got him for a reason. We're paying him. There's something wrong. Spy Tech. And, there's rumors of Spy Tech and the Gum Assassin having issues. And then, of course, Chip Kelly is a mental case. It's just the buffoonery of the Raiders. And we've grown kind of used to it. And that's the saddest part of all. Thanks for the call, brother. Can you smell the cheese? Well, I sure as hell can. It's the Cheesehead Raider. He's in the house. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheesehead Raider caller from Wisconsin. Just got off my flight from Vegas watching the Cowgirls whoop the daylights out of my beloved Raiders. Had a little time for some thought. Thinking about the game. First thing, Raider Randy, my brother, sorry I couldn't meet up with you. Driving up from Sedona with my daughter, just lodging and everything. We got to the stadium like at 4:00. So it was quite a rush for us. But anyways, so, we've all talked about Geno. Clearly, anybody who's listened to this podcast for more than 2 episodes has heard me complain about the offensive line. I think regardless whatever scheme you bring into the NFL, NFL games are won in the trenches, and our offensive line is literally the worst offensive line there is. With saying that, I am starting to have a little bit of compassion for Geno Smith. The interception he threw was too high. He was being rushed. I feel that he hears those steps for whatever it is that you that people call him for being sacked so much. I mean, he was sacked, I think, 3 times in the first half. I think it all our problems come or could be solved, let me say that, by spending, and I've heard or seen this stat of the Raiders will have $115 million. You spent $60 million on a completely new offensive line, a big, brooding one. Now you can run the ball. Now your quarterback, whoever it is, has time to actually go through the progressions. You can wear down the other team's defense. You give your defense some breathing, time to rest, and you start winning more games. Am I saying you're going undefeated? Absolutely not. You're going to the Super Bowl just from that? Nope. But it certainly would help. I also saw something, I'm probably getting close to my 3 minutes here, but I saw something since the Raiders moved to Vegas, their winning percentage is, I think, .409. It's 26th in the NFL.
Las Vegas Raiders' all-time win percentage since moving to Las Vegas, an NFL rank during that 94-game span is 38 wins, 56 losses, for a win percentage of .404, ranking the Raiders 25th out of 32 NFL teams. Their home win percentage is .426, and their road win percentage is .383. Their AFC West record during that span is .469. Versus the Chiefs, .182. Versus the Chargers, .545. Versus the Broncos, .700. Let me ride that donkey, donkey. Fuck the Chiefs.
I would ask the question, what has their record been since Mark Davis has been calling the shots? Take that time frame and take the same time frame that Al took over, see what his winning percentage is, see what the difference is. I'm betting you anything, Al's was a hell of a lot higher than Mark's.
The Raiders under Al Davis had a win percentage of .559. The Raiders under Mark Davis have a win percentage of .383. The Raiders have played 222 games under Mark Davis, for a record of 85 wins, 137 losses. For the final 222 games under Al Davis, the Raiders had a record of 106 wins, 115 losses, for a .480 win percentage versus .383 for Mark Davis.
Not about Vegas, it's about Mark Davis. And with that, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider. I'm out.
Al Davis' final years after trading away John Gruden, 58 wins and 102 losses for a win percentage of .362.
Well, I'm glad you went to the game, and it's a beautiful stadium, as you know. And the Raider Nation, man, I know there's a lot of Cowboy fans, but you got to be around your people. And there's something to be said, even though we look crappy, even though we are crappy, there's something to be said about hanging out with the fans. You know, it really makes the best part of this trek to Vegas is to see the Raider Nation. Super fans, just all the fans, talking to people. Yeah, it's a special group for sure, and I don't know what it's going to be like if we ever start winning football games. It'll get really crazy because it's pretty cool right now. Sorry you traveled that way to see that mess, but many people have traveled that way to see other messes. Mark Davis is the common denominator, of course, and, well, he ain't going nowhere. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot of rumors and conjecture at this point because it always happens for every losing team. Every fan base has every theory, and we're no different. So I don't even care as long as we don't win many meaningless games for no reason and get a decent draft pick. That's all I care about. Appreciate the call, brother. And our next caller needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one. Ho, ho, ho. Raider Claus. Super fan. Man, you see this guy in the Modelo area of the stadium. You got to go check it out. All the super fans are there. It's a cool place. And bring a toy. This is him, and he was at the game. I love his take. I want you to listen closely.
Ho, ho, ho. Season's greetings, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Raider Claus checking in. After a dreadful game last night, I don't want to say it's our worst performance of the year, but it's one of the worst performances. The offensive line looked horrible. The decisions of the switch around did not make any sense. We wait till JBJ goes out, and then we switch Meredith over to guard. I don't know if they're intentionally just effing with everybody, but it makes no sense to me. Maybe it makes sense to somebody else, but I am just confused by their continual decisions and where they're playing people and not playing people. I think we all can agree that we're not making the playoffs, but this is a good opportunity to give the young guys some playing time, to give them some experience, yet we leave them inactive on the games. And, you know, the receivers, you know, everyone says about, you know, the step that everyone makes from season one to season two, you know, and this is the time to give the receivers some playing time, some opportunity to make those mistakes, those rookie mistakes, so they're not making them next year. But it's just no one's getting that opportunity, I don't think. And, you know, Farrell keeps saying about he wants to win now. Well, good luck, because your plan ain't working. So how about you switch it up? Put your ego to the side and let's play these guys. So, you know, I don't know about the play calling. What did Genty run six times last night? I mean, that's great. And what an awesome call on, you know, first and 10 on the 1 yard line after the great decision to field that punt. But it's like, was anyone else expecting anything else to happen other than a safety? It seems, I don't know, if they're expecting different results from the same crap that they're doing. So, oh well, hopefully we'll see. We've got two and seven team or 2-8 team going up against each other. We're taking on the Browns. The good news is I will be in Las Vegas. I will be at the Modelo tailgate area. Come on by. Bring a gift for the kids over at Olive Crest. If you can, stop by, take a picture, and hang out, have some fun with the nation. All right, everyone enjoy themselves. Be safe. God bless. Go Raiders.
See, for me, I think they're doing it on purpose. It's so stupid that you couldn't pull a fan out of the crowd and have him call a game any worse. Trust me. And, you know, that, the getting the ball on the 18-yard line and getting a field goal, Geno Smith falling like a, you know, like a cheap suit on the ground every time anybody goes near him, he falls down. That's another great thing. I mean, the offensive line is trash, but Spytek knew that. This is how warped I'm thinking. I think that's the plan. I think the plan, honestly, is to just get a top three pick at this point, because we're going to have enough money next year to buy a decent line, and if we have a new quarterback, things could fall into place. But I've said this before, and of course, here we are. Thanks for the call, brother. It's always good. And thank you for doing all the things that you do. And our next caller is the Nebraska Raider. I like this take. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Nebraska Raider calling in after that ass whooping we took by the Cowgirls. I mean, what can you say? The offensive line sucks. We see that. We have a decent passing game when Bowers and Myers are Meyer.
Or Mayer.
And Tucker out there. But you can't pass the ball when you don't have the freaking time, and you can't run the ball when you get stuffed, you know, 3 freaking yards, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, offensive line, I know we're down two, at least with JPJ and another guy who's been around for a while. I think he's past his prime. But, yeah, offensive line, that's what it comes down to. As the big Lincoln Kennedy would say, it all starts with the big uglies, you know, in the trenches. So when you don't have that on offense, we do have that on defense. Our defense is decent. Our secondary, obviously, goes without being said, needs to be worked on. But besides the game, we all know how that happened. I want to give a shout-out to Raider Randy, Raider Greg, Crusader Raider, Cheesehead. I know he was out there. And whoever else was at the game or just even sitting watching that terrible, terrible performance in front of the whole nation and other nations. But blessed to be able to sit here at home, watch the game on my TV, and not spend a damn dime. As Red Greg used to always say, don't spend your money on this team. Don't spend it. So, not until they prove that it's deserved. But God bless Raider Nation. This is Nebraska Raider, and I am out.
Well, yeah, our offensive line is trash, but that's not the only reason that all this buffoonery is happening. The way they're calling plays, Genty runs 6 times in the entire game. I mean, how are you going to get him any time, any opportunities to learn how to play if you're not letting him play? Who cares what happens? You got to just keep running this kid so he starts to get used to the NFL. And we have rookies that should be starting. And there's a whole litany of other obvious problems, like the punt. The punt that never was. They were going to try to get the ball. They watched the ball go up, and then they watched the ball come down, and they all watched it as the Cowboys caught it, and that was it. Our opportunity to take the ball back had failed. Another special teams buffoonery, as well as it really wouldn't make any difference if we got the ball because our offense can't do anything. So, get used to it. I just think we all have to just suck it up, Buttercup, because I think the real plan is to get a top 3 pick and get a quarterback. That's my idea. And if it's not that way and we start winning these stupid games that we shouldn't be winning because the other team doesn't care, they don't need to win those games towards the end of the season, I'm going to be flipped to another universe. And you know what that means. Appreciate the call, brother. And our next caller from North Carolina, Raider Ruben, super good fan, smart guy. Listen to what he has to say, because I love it. What's up, brother?
What's up, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, and the prizes, Ruben from North Carolina calling in. Not fresh, but back from my vacation in Cancun and trying to avoid watching this football team. But unfortunately, it looks like Raider Nation is strong down in Mexico because as soon as I turn on the tube, waiting for my wife to get ready for us to go on an excursion, there, sure enough, the game was on. So I watched that ending to that Jacksonville game, and all I have to say is another disappointing game. Calling about Monday's game and all the aftermath and hearing, you know, people's takes and some of the pundits on the radio and stuff like that give their comments. And I personally think that with Antonio Pierce as the head coach last season, he had it way worse. They traded away Josh Jacob, you know, his top running back. They avoid in drafting a quarterback in the first round with all so many good quarterbacks that were in the draft. They didn't trade down or trade up, I'm sorry, to get a quarterback. Free agents left, like Devontae Adams. You know, with all the chaos that was going on last season, I guess the expectations weren't that high, so, you know, everybody's hopes weren't to be diminished as badly, even though, you know, Antonio Pierce talked the good one, showing up with his low rider, you know, wearing black Air Force Ones on the field, you know, talking tough, wearing hoodies on a sideline in Miami in 90-degree weather and sweating through him, you know, being the former football player that he is. But this year, this season was so much different with Pete Carroll. And with all the experience he was bringing, I know a lot of people had high hopes. I just feel like Pete Carroll is not the guy. He's not going to be the guy. I don't see things changing. Just by watching the game and the way things don't change, there's no adjustments being done. The defense, something that he was going to be, you know, being, you know, a little bit tighter on as far as calling which kind of defenses he was going to be playing with Patrick Graham and stuff. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. The secondary looks lost. There's no push from the interior line. The linebackers, they're running into each other. You got guys like Jamal Adams playing linebacker when he doesn't have the size for a linebacker. Not getting the best talent to play the positions. We had a talent. They let him go as far as, you know, Trayvon Morgan and Nate Hobbs. We didn't keep any of our own free agents that we drafted that were playing well for us. They went and got paid somewhere else, and those teams are doing really, really well. The free agents that we bring in free agents that are on a one- or two-year contract, you know, they're playing for their next contract. They're not looking to win or anything like that. We got Christian Wilkins, who turned out to be a nut job, or, you know, a guy who's got some weird fetishes and stuff. But that's, you know, that's his own personal thing. But obviously there were other things that came into play as far as his release. So, you know, a lot of this falls on Mark Davis. Like I always said in my calls, he's the one who sets the tone for this organization. And if things keep on going the way they are, we have no hope as long as he's the owner. I mean, they cut to him during the game. They cut to him and he's talking to, you know, celebrities that are sitting near his box. What is that? I mean, I don't get it. You want to be a coach, or you want to be, you know, Mr. You know, celebrity entertainer, you know, the guy who entertains the celebrities that come to your stadium. Anyways, season's almost over. This wounded dog of a football season is going to be coming to an end. We can finally put a bullet in it and just end it soon. So next week is Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a good and safe holiday, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, you know, they got rid of Jack Jones. They got rid of, you know, all the guys that I thought were doing good. I mean, they played way better. And then they brought a bunch of buffoons in. Spytek is either lost. Carroll, he's too old to play this game anymore. I think this is all done on purpose because it is so ridiculously lame. We are so lame. We are the lamest team in the 32. I don't think I've seen a more buffoonery-ridden game, riddled game than the Raiders play, and especially on Thursday night and Monday night prime times. They look like idiots. The coaches look like fools. The players did too. I don't know, the general manager, we haven't seen him. Randy says they usually don't come out, but I say they come out when there's panic in the streets. And believe me, for the Raider Nation, I think people are even beyond panic. I don't think they give a rat's rear end about this team. You know, there's still everyone that is a Raider fan is a fan, but this particular team, I don't see the love, man. The fans are getting tired of this show, and it's a bad Vegas show. You know, the ones you go into and there's little groups of two and three people in a 3,000 seat arena? Yeah, that kind of show. Appreciate the call, brother. You got the right take, man. We just have to ride it out. I think 7 more games. Oh my gosh. 7 more weeks of torture so we can get on out of here and prepare for next year, whatever that may hold. And last, but hardly ever least, never least, I say, is Keith Smith, the Crusader Raider. This guy travels thousands and thousands, no joke, of miles to support this team and charity events. And him and his daughter Kelly, Crossbones Kelly, travel all over. He brought his wife to these games. I mean, that's not cheap, what Keith does. But like the super fans are, they're super fans, and he's a super fan. What do you got for us, Crusader Raider?
Hello, Raider Greg. Hello, Randy. This is Keith Smith, Crusader Raider, calling you from Henderson, Nevada. Well, I tried to bring the Thunderbirds with me. I tried to bring the International Rescue, but after 3 games, 2 in Vegas and 1 in Denver, it just didn't work out this time. I guess instead of being an International Rescue film, this was more like a Mission Impossible. Sadly, with the O-line that we've got, with some of the coach calling that we've got, with some of the scared players we've got, some of the injuries that we've got, I can make excuses all day long, but I'm still here, still believing in the team going forward. Please, let's not get rid of another head coach, but he could get rid of some of those assistants that have got the same surname. I hope you are all well. We've had a great time here. Thank you, Randy, for hosting us. It's been absolutely amazing. And I'll call into the bone line when I get back home. This is Keith Smith, Crusader Raider. I'm out.
Well, as always, you're very politically correct. I know you could say more, but you're not gonna. You're gonna let me do it, and that's okay. I love doing it. I wish I didn't have to do it. The Raiders just stink, and I'm sorry that you came over here to see these sorry players with these knucklehead coaches making foolish and knucklehead play calls. But I know one thing for sure. You had a great time with the fans, and the fans love you, man. They magnet to you big time, and you are a big part of this team. Trust me, the whole nation knows who you are. I've seen it, and we just appreciate the passion and everything you bring to the table, you and Kelly and family, and we appreciate that, brother. All right. Well, that is it for another edition of the Raider Nation podcast. I appreciate everyone hanging in here, you know, because it's tough to hang in with this team on these kind of seasons, which we've seen a lot of. This one is particularly ugly and particularly hard to watch. But perhaps this is what we need to go to the next level. I don't know. I just hope we can get this ship settled down. And I'm not sure if Carol's the answer. I know Bo Chip Kelly isn't. So we'll see what happens. There's always something. There's some drama somewhere. We'll see. We got 7 games to check it out.
6 games left.
Raider Nation, stay safe. If I don't hear or see, or if you don't hear me, before Thanksgiving, God bless each and every one of you. Be safe, be good human beings, and I am Raider Greg, and I am out.